Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Anxiously awaiting your lawn and garden questions is Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota this Saturday morning. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Denny. Great to be here. Good to hear your voice. And it's time for fall cleanup in the garden, I guess.
Absolutely. In fact, that's exactly what I'm going to be doing today and tomorrow. I have my marching orders from the house. Here, so I'll be doing that again. But it'll be a good day for that. We have maybe a small chance of showers overnight, but that's it. So a good day for a cleanup. Now, what would you recommend? What is the process? What do I need to do here besides trimming some shrubs back?
Well, in the vegetable garden, we're finishing harvesting. If you have cool season things like kale, collards, Swiss chard. Broccoli, they will take some light frosts. And if you don't have a community garden and have to clean it up like I do, you can leave those things that are frost tolerant. But peppers, eggplant, tomatoes, we want to finish harvesting those. And if you have any disease in your garden, disease plants, you should put those in the compost pile. Remove that plant debris because that will cut down on diseases for the coming years. And move your houseplants indoors. Most houseplants don't like growing below 50 degrees. So when we have weather temperatures in the 40s, that's pretty cold. So cleaning up your houseplants and bringing those in, those are big chores. And the last thing I'll say is if you have tender bulbs, gladiolus, cannas, caladiums, dahlias, those will not live through winter outdoors, so we have to bring those inside, and it's tricky, but try to find a place about 50 degrees to store them.
I know once in a while we'll get questions, and actually I thought about that too. We have in part of the garden a yard hostas, some pretty good sized hostas, and my wife likes to have me clean them out after the frost hits them and they're flat on the ground. But you don't really have to, do you? You could wait till spring for
No. that. No, you don't have to really clean up hostas. That's one of the easy things about them. Their foliage kind of melts away, it really disintegrates over the winter. But sometimes the bigger hostas have big leaves, coarse stems. Those take a little bit longer, but yes, I don't do that. I don't clean up my hostas. And we know now that many insects will overwinter in the stems of foliage. So many of our perennials, if you leave some of the stems up, or you do the chop and drop, you cut them off, but you leave the stems there, then the insects that are inside can complete their life cycles and be there for next summer.
Very good. Texter says this, Mary, and we'll give the number in a second. I have a potted perennial plant called the
Tradescantia.
Thank you. I would like to dispose of it now, but don't know how. I don't want to put it in the forest by my house in fear that it'll take root and spread. I also know that it's against Minnesota law to throw it in the garbage. What should I do?
Well, I would look for your municipal compost sites. So most communities have municipal compost sites where you can take brush or shrub trimmings, fallen branches, etc. Many times they don't want to take soil, but they will take all of the plants. And some of them, you have to really check and see which ones will take soil. But I would look for that because most all municipalities have that. So there is one for Hennepin County, but there's also one for Plymouth, Maple Grove, etc.
Okay, very good. Phone number is also the text number. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you know how busy we get here this hour. 651-461-9226 for your lawn or garden question. Phone number, Same. 651-461-9226. Another text says this, Mary. I bought a tree in the spring. It's still in its pot. Is it too late to plant it in the ground?
Well, I think it will do better in the ground than it will in that pot in Minnesota. So, yes, I would go ahead and plant it. Make sure that you prepare the soil well. Dig a big hole. Dig a big wide hole. Find where the flare roots are, where the first roots are, come off on the tree, and make sure those are up high near the surface of the soil. So don't plant it too deep. And then I would make sure that you water it for until the ground freezes.
Okay. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Jim, phoning in from Belle Plaine this morning. Good morning, Jim. What is your question for Mary?
My question is, I have a hibiscus in a pot, and I want to take it in for the winter, and how do I prepare it to do that?
I would give the hibiscus a shower. So through a hose outside or putting it in your shower indoors, you want to clean it off really well. Hibiscus often will have insects, especially aphids, when you bring it indoors. So the insects might really increase indoors. You want to make sure it's insect free. If you do see any insects, some people treat their plants with insecticidal soap as they're bringing them indoors. That will help clean up, kill any of the insects. But then, yes, put it in as bright a light as possible indoors. Hibiscus are a great plant to have through the winter and often will continue to flower even indoors.
Listener wants to know, we talk about the new apple, the Kudos. Are there any samples available like at the Arboretum, they want to know?
Boy, I wish there were. I have tried. I don't think so. No, to my knowledge, there were very few, and they're not samples available. For the public now. I do know that think about past years when you were out there sampling one of those numbers. Maybe you did try Kudos and didn't know it, because the numbered samples do come into the public. There are numbers out there now in the Apple House that you can buy, but Kudos will be a few years until we can taste those. The plants are going to the grower now, so there'll be a few years until we can taste that. Kudos, the newest, the 29th introduction from the University of Minnesota. It has Honeycrisp and Zestar as the parents. And you can buy Honeycrisp and Zestar at the Apple House and many stores as well.
Sounds great. I know we have to break here, but I want to grab another phone call before we do that. Karen, I think, is on the horn calling in from Watertown. Hi, Karen. What's your question?
Hi. I want you to know I listen to your show every morning. I have a question about seeding grass. We've had problems getting our soil ready, and now we have the ground prepped for seeding. Is it too late to do grass seeding?
Well, if it was mine, I wouldn't seed it right now. I would wait and do a dormant seeding. So dormant seeding is about a month from now, when you know it's not going to grow in the fall. The chances are right now the soil is still warm, and if we get a few more days of 70 degrees, that seed could start to germinate. And when it's very young, it's really susceptible to frost and dying. So rather than take the big risk now, about a month from now, I would do a dormant seeding.
Very good. I'm going to be doing that too later on this season. All right, I'm getting a signal here. We need to take a quick break. This is our Smart Garden Show. If you have a question for Mary Meyer, call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. New temperature reading in the Twin Cities just moved up 1 degree from the past couple of hours. CCO temperature reading 45. Stay with us. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Welcoming your lawn and garden questions this morning for Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Mary, as usual, a lot of callers, a lot of texters. something to keep you busy here for the rest of the hour. We should remind our listeners, too, that if they've never checked it out, please do the University of Minnesota Extension website. It's extension.umn.edu. A lot of work put into that, a lot of labors of love, and it's a great resource, isn't it?
Yes, wonderful resource. What's wrong with my plant? What insect is this? Lots of timely tips. If you want to read about bringing your houseplants indoors, there's a great new article there. Fall cleanup. What about the bugs that we see around our windows now and doors? You can identify what those insects are and how to clean those up. But lots of great information at extension.umn.edu.
Yeah, great reading. We're going to get back to the phone callers. The one text here, I'm trying to catch up on business here, too. Is it too late to trim arborvitae? A question from a listener.
I like to wait to trim the evergreens until it's really cold and they're not going to grow anymore. And so you trim my evergreens and use the trimmings for Christmas decorations. So I wait till closer to the end of October into November. Right now we see arborvitae with the inside of it browning. So that's the normal leaf fall on the evergreens. The older inside leaves will turn brown. So that might make people look at their arborvitae and think, oh, it's not doing well, but it's just the normal evergreen leaf fall.
All right, very good. Another phone call. Martha's calling in from Andover this morning. Thanks for waiting, Martha. What is your question, please?
So I've got three houseplants that are outside. Two of them are succulents and one is a begonia. And I grabbed them last night and put them into the garage. So obviously, they can't stay in the garage very long. How do I check them for insects? And then is it okay to bring them into the house and put them on the four-season porch right from the garage? I mean, can they go from like 40, 50 degree temperatures to indoor temperatures?
Yes, you can move them because they've been outside. They've been used to much warmer conditions, more like what we have inside. So temperature difference isn't an issue now. The big concern is the insects that might be on your plants. So the best thing is if you can actually give them a shower and wash off any insects, inspect the top of the pots around the edges of the pots, the bottom of the pots. Washing all that off is a great way to clean up the plants. If the succulents, you don't want to give them that much water with really a bath. You can just be more careful with a paper towel, a moist paper towel, in wiping and cleaning off the foliage. But so many of our household plant insect problems come in right now in the fall. So you just want to do a good inspection, looking on the top and the bottom of all the leaves and then washing them off. And then, yes, you could move them today. In fact, they'd be much happier. You'll feel that the leaves are cold, the pot is cold from being outside, and plants like that really prefer above 60 degrees.
Okay. Let's grab another phone call, and we'll pick up on text messages. Beth calling in from Bloomington this very morning. Beth, thank you for waiting. What is your question?
Oh, hi. I had sort of a similar question on the begonia. So just wanted to confirm that we can bring it in for the winter. Where should we put it in the house after we clean it up for the insects?
Yes, I think I give my houseplants the brightest light possible. Many things like begonias, any of the citrus, succulents, hibiscus, anything that's going to flower, you want to give that as high light as possible. Because even indoors with a south window, it still is not as bright as it is outdoors, even in a porch where it's shaded. So bright light will really help, especially something like begonia or hibiscus that you want it to keep flowering.
Mary, a texter wants to know, what's the best way to reuse potting soil?
This is a really good question, and it's one that we don't talk about enough, especially when we're thinking about recycling things and reusing things. And now with a greater interest in peat, should we be using peat and peat moss? And so I reuse a lot of potting soil. Sometimes, like this time of year, when I just leave it in the pots and store it outside, where in a pot sitting outside, or in my boxes it sits outside. And then in the springtime, I try to dry it out. Many times I will get a big tarp and dump everything out into a tarp and let it dry out, because it's usually really dense and wet. So you want to make sure it dries out. And then I just try to remove any plant parts, any roots, anything that looks like part of a dead plant. I try to remove that. Sometimes I add additional soil, and depending on the density of it, how heavy it is, I might add some sand to make it a little bit more porous and better drainage. But I try to reuse my potting soil. The only exception is if you've had a really problem with diseased plants, and especially anything that was rotted or had rotten. Like if you grow dahlias, the little annual dahlias, those tubers will really take in a lot of water and they can rot. And so things like that, I try to clean up any diseased or dead plant parts, take out. But I try to reuse it from year to year.
Okay. 651-461-9226. That's our phone number. It's also our text number. Speaking of text, can you talk about, I know you touched on this earlier, Mary, can you talk about leaving some perennials standing for pollinators and beneficial insects and caterpillars, please?
Yes, this is new information that we continue to learn more and more about, is an understanding the whole life cycle of insects, many of our native bees, and where they lay their eggs will often be in stems, different widths and sizes of stems, but they will often lay their eggs in these stems of many of our perennials. And yes, if we completely clean up the garden, we're removing a lot of these larvae and killing a lot of insects. So you don't have to be such a neatnik in cleaning up your garden. You can actually leave some of the stems. And actually, that can make a good cover and like a living mulch to actually hold moisture in your soil. So, right, I try to not clean up the garden much in the fall at all. Now, the only exception is peonies. I cut down my peonies because they usually have botrytis blight. So I remove the peony foliage, but the other perennials I leave standing until the spring. And then in the springtime, I do a minimal cleanup and try to leave about 6 inches or so on the plants that are there. And if I do remove it, I put it in my compost pile. So, yes, hopefully that will enable a lot more insects to live. And we know that we have a shrinking insect population overall.
Yeah, for sure. Hang on, Mary. We'll have a look at that CCO forecast and be right back with more of our
insect population overall.
Yeah, for sure. Hang on, Mary. We'll have a look at that CCO forecast and be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show on 830 WCCO. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, answering those lawn and garden questions, and we have many, as usual. Greetings, this texter says, then we'll grab a phone call. Have a panicle hydrangea, some sedum plants. Should these plants be cut back now or in the spring?
In the spring. If you're going to cut them back, do it in the spring. On both of these plants have beautiful flowers that are beautiful right now and can hold through the fall and into the winter. So they have a lot of winter interest. So I would, I'd wait till spring.
A couple of callers, or rather texters, want to know how they overwinter a mandevilla plant.
Well, mandevilla is a beautiful vine, has kind of a thick leaf. It looks like it might be a hardy, but it's not hardy for us. So you'd have to bring it indoors and grow it and keep it in a bright, sunny window to keep it. So it needs to have good light all summer. As far as I know, it does not have a dormant period. It isn't something you can put in the basement and forget about it. That will kill it. So it needs a bright, sunny window, like a hibiscus, for the whole winter. So that's kind of a challenge to do that. But if you have enough space and a bright window, I know people have done it.
Okay, very good. Let's take a phone call. Catherine's calling in from Blaine this morning. Catherine, good morning. What is your question?
My question is it too late for a hydrangea, to put a hydrangea in?
If you already have it and it's in a container, yes, I would go ahead and plant it. If you're going out to buy one, it's getting really iffy. We'd like to have about a month of good growing conditions for the plants to develop roots. Well, you know, you might have that now. I mean, we just never know with what's happening. And our fall frost date has been moving later and later. So I would do it this weekend. If you're going to do any planting, I would do it this weekend.
Okay. Let's grab another phone call. Becky is calling in this morning from North St. Paul. Becky, thank you for waiting. What is your question?
Thank you for hearing me. I have a problem with my dirt in my pots in the house smelling, and I was just wondering how often houseplants should be repotted to take care of that smell.
Okay, if you can smell it, then you should get rid of it, because that is not a good sign. And sometimes when I'm watering my citrus, I use an organic plant food for my citrus that is, I can smell it after I water it, but then it goes away. So that doesn't bother me. But if you continually have a problem and can smell the soil, there's too much decaying organic matter in there, and it should not have a bad smell or so obvious that you can smell it. So I would repot those plants. And I think what you might find is there's not a lot of good, healthy root growth in there, and maybe the roots are there's decaying roots, so I would definitely, and those would be brown, so I would repot your plants.
Okay. This texter says, bringing your outdoor plants inside, what about the bugs on these plants?
Yes, that's why we have to do really quite a careful inspection. And some people use a preventative insecticidal soap that they spray down their plants with, because sometimes it's hard to see all the insects. Some plants are worse than others. Like if you've had snake plants and jade plants outdoors, you might not have any insects on them. But hibiscus are kind of notorious for having aphids or white flies that you bring in. So you just have to do really good inspection and then watch carefully for the first, I would say, 2 to 4 weeks after you bring them in to see whether or not you have any insects. So water, washing them off with a shower is the first line of defense that I use, because sometimes you can just, with a force of water, remove the insects.
Okay. If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions today. Good morning. This texter says, is it okay to do dormant seeding with clover?
Yes, you could do that. We've had some results with that. And sometimes I think wildflowers or non-grass, we didn't really start dormant seeding, but you can try that. It's worth a try. White clover is a good, tough plant. It's a plant more people should have in their lawns, because it fixes nitrogen, so we don't have to use additional nitrogen fertilizer, and it produces a lot of flowers that we know many bees will use as food with the nectar in the flowers. So I would try, yeah, mixing that in with a dormant seeding.
Okay. This listener says this, Mary, I have Carl Foster grasses that now have dead areas. this year only may be due to a lack of water. Do you think they'll come back, or do I need to plant new? What are Carl Foster grasses?
Yes, Carl Foster, he was a German plantsman, and the ubiquitous grass that you see that kind of looks like wheat, it's about 4 feet tall, and it's beige now, planted at a lot of malls, commercial plantings, and sold. It's a huge big seller in garden centers. That grass, Carl Forster, is named after the German, but that grass does tend to get a dead center in it, and especially after a dry year, the three dry years we've had. So the remedy is really division in the spring. So in the spring, just as the plants are starting to grow, I would dig the whole thing up, or at least dig out the parts that are dead. Many times this looks like a donut with a living grass around the outside and the center is dead. So you can chop it up into like four plants and throw away any part that is dead. You'll be able to see that there's no roots and it will just be a woody part. Throw that away and then plant the four new plants you've got, and they'll do much better. Carl Forster, this grass is the one grass that really does seem to need division after 5 or 6 years of being in the garden.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Jerry is calling in from St. Paul this morning. Jerry, you're on CCO with Mary.
Hi, everyone. A couple of years ago, I had a retaining wall built in my yard, and it's about 100 feet long, and probably a foot out from the retaining wall, the ground sank about 3 to 4 inches. So in order to fix that, I want to put some fill dirt in there, but should I remove the sod, which is a heck of a job, or can I just simply fill black dirt on top of it with some grass seed? Will the grass underneath still grow through if I put 3 or 4 inches of dirt on top of it?
I think that it will, Jerry. It's probably Kentucky bluegrass that's there. That's a very, very tough grass. And yes, I think it will still grow through it. That grass has rhizomes. Many of our lawn grasses do. You know, if you wanted to put 2 inches on it at a time and wait till the grass comes up through that and then put another 2 inches on, you could do that. That would be another strategy. It would take longer. You'd have to do it twice. But I think you'll be fine. You can reseed with some additional grass seed. You could do a dormant seeding if you want to do it this fall, or wait and do the whole thing next spring. But, yeah, I think the grass will persist there.
Okay. Listener wants to know how to get rid of thistle in my garden and lawn.
This is a big problem. If this is Canada thistle, this is one of our noxious weeds, very difficult to control, extensive root system. You can pull up those plants, but the subterranean root system 2 or 3 feet down in the soil is really difficult to get rid of. But you know, in the situation where it is in a garden or lawn, just keep cutting it off, keep cutting it off. Glyphosate, the Total Kill Roundup herbicide, will kill it, but you need quite a bit of thistle there. You need 6-8 inches of the plant. And even then, you probably have to do it a couple times. So just persistently cutting off what's green.
Okay. This listener, Thinden, replanted my irises last month, they say. Have lots of extra bulbs. How long can I keep them and how to store them?
I've never kept them very long. I always replant them. And yes, I have had this very same thing. Think about giving them away. Who do you know that might need iris? But I don't think they're going to do well if you don't plant them. You've got to replant them, otherwise they'll just dry up and not do well. But, you know, it is getting late, but they'll die if you don't plant them now. You won't have them alive in the spring. So it's either plant them, give them away, or throw out a plant. I hate to say that, Denny,
yeah.
But that's where we are.
All right. Hang on, Mary. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. It's a Saturday. All right. Hang on, Mary. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. It's a Saturday in the Twin Cities, 45 degrees. We might hit the low to mid-50s for a daytime high. It's probably going to be a cloudy day today. And about the same for tomorrow. Your Sunday is predicted right now to be partly sunny, high, though, near 56. Right now, as I said, 45 on 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Keep in mind now, our Home Improvement Show will get underway next hour right after the 9 o'clock news break. Andy Lindis answering any kind of a home improvement question you might have. We're in the midst of our Lawn and Garden Show, our Smart Garden Show. Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those questions. Here's one of them. Can I still spray weeds like clover and creeping Charlie?
This depends on the temperature. That it is on the day you decide to spray. So you have to read the label on the herbicide and see what it says about temperature. It depends on what the chemical is. It might be, say, do not spray below 50 degrees. It might say 60 degrees. So usually it's warmer conditions for the herbicides to really work. We do have some activity with plants still growing, and your weeds can be seen out there, but a lot of it depends on what the chemical is you're going to spray and if it will work. So read the label.
Okay. Always read the label. Should first-year June-bearing strawberries be cut back before mulching for the winter?
Yes. Well, yes. But the renovation for strawberries really takes place right after you've harvested them, like July 10th or something. When the June bearing quit bearing, then you mow them off and do your renovation then. So mowing them off now would be a big risk. But the whole goal is that you clean them up and then they grow with foliage. But now I would say it's too late to do that. I would just go ahead and do the mulching.
Okay. When should butternut squash be harvested in the fall is our next question.
I would wait till the vines die. So butternut takes pretty much a long season, most of our season. So I would wait till the vines are dead, especially the leaves. The leaves have to be dead, and when the vines turn brown instead of green, you can harvest them. And usually you can tell the color. It will be that brown color all over and not any more green with the squash. That reminds me, Denny, of the pumpkins and squash that were harvested at the Arboretum. They have, as usual, 350 kinds of pumpkins and squash. Ooh. You can see the huge displays that are at the Arboretum and the Apple House now, and you can buy some of these pumpkins and squash, many different kinds, squash from around the world that are really wonderful. So great to see the Arboretum this weekend. There are lots of other things going on, the book sale, the herb sale, the harvest sale, but the scarecrow. Crows and pumpkins, the squash display, really a lot to see.
I'm glad you brought that up about the Arboretum. I wanted to ask you about that. And maybe we should mention, too, that the procedure to reserve online, though, always do that. You have to do that.
Yes, you still do. And especially today, you could see how busy it is. But yes, every half hour, several hundred people are able to come in the Arboretum. So just look on the website. You can reserve the time that you want to go through the weekend and walk the trail, see the beautiful fall color as well.
Once you be, if you never have visited the Arboretum, once you do, you're going to want to make very frequent trips there. Just a great place. Just west of the Twin Cities, just go west on Highway 5 to about 41, and you're just about there.
That's right.
I know our time is so limited here. Another texter says they bought begonia tubers last spring, did not get a chance to plant them. Can I store them for next spring planting?
Boy, I think they're probably on their last leg right now. So if you didn't plant them, yes, begonias will not live through our winter outdoors. So no, I think they're going to be dead.
Okay. This listener says, I have a question about pruning an apple tree. I have a 3-year-old fireside apple tree that's doing well. The problem is that the tree's leader is growing too well and has an overall height of 12 feet with not any significant branching out. How do I trim the long leader to encourage more branching off the main trunk?
Well, that's exactly right. You've got to go up and take that top leader off because that will encourage branching from the side. The question of where to actually take the top leader off, you want to look at the buds that are remaining there and try to have one on each side or three places around the tree so that it will kind of make an umbrella-like with the stems that will come out. There's and the time to do this is late winter or early spring. There's videos that we have online on how to prune fruit trees, especially apple trees, and so you can watch those. You can find the link for those at extension.umn.edu and search for apple pruning. But it is critical to do it now when the plant is young, because this will form the main stems that will then have the branch structure. You want to have widely spaced branches that get a lot of sunlight. And depending on the rootstock that's on this tree will really determine how tall it gets. But pruning certainly will help it have a good form, so it will keep it smaller.
Okay. Question about dormant grass seeding. The question is the seed different than regular grass seed?
No, it's the same seed. It's just the timing when you put it down. So it gets into the ground and settles itself in there. And then with the moisture of the winter and the snow that will then come, it's ready to go early in the spring. So you put it on when you know it's going to not germinate so that it really gets a head start in the spring.
Another grass seed question. What's the best grass seed mix to use with Kentucky bluegrass, fescue, etc.? What do you think?
Yes, we've traditionally talked about Kentucky bluegrass, the fine fescues, and perennial ryegrass as a great all-around mixture. More and more, we're favoring the fine fescues because those are low maintenance, slow growing. We recommend those to go with bee lawns. They need less fertilizer. They're drought tolerant, and they're very, very fine texture. So, but a mixture with three different kinds, the blue Kentucky bluegrass, fine fescues, and perennial ryegrass, will kind of let the best guy win out there with the grasses, because if you have shady spots, that will be the fescue will grow there. If you have some sun, the perennial rye and the Kentucky bluegrass will grow. So it'll sort itself out and hopefully grow well. You'll have grass growing well in all diverse areas of your lawn.
Just a final quick question, Mary. Can I bring a fern inside that's been outside all summer? Texter wants to know.
If it's a house plant, you can. I wouldn't try bringing in any of our, woodland native ferns because they need a dormant period. But the house plant, like the Boston ferns, yes, you could bring that in. But then there again, I'd really wash it off well and inspect it for insects.
Excellent. Mary, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure having you on CCO Radio, and I know we'll talk soon.
Yes, always a pleasure. Thanks, Denny.
You're welcome. And get to the Arboretum, yes, and also check out the University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu. I know we've had some folks looking for various kinds of shrubs to plant. They have all sorts of ideas about all sorts of things out there. So check it out, extension.umn.edu. In the meantime, get those home improvement questions ready next hour for Andy Lindis. Mostly cloudy today. We expect highs near 52 right now on 830 WCCO, 45. Stay with us.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anxiously awaiting your lawn and garden questions is Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota this Saturday morning. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Denny. Great to be here. Good to hear your voice. And it's time for fall cleanup in the garden, I guess.
Absolutely. In fact, that's exactly what I'm going to be doing today and tomorrow. I have my marching orders from the house here, so I'll be doing that again. But it'll be a good day for that. We have maybe a small chance of showers overnight, but that's it. So a good day for a cleanup. Now, what would you recommend? What is the process? What do I need to do here besides trimming some shrubs back?
Well, in the vegetable garden, we're finishing harvesting. If you have cool season things like kale, collards, Swiss chard, broccoli, they will take some light frosts. And if you don't have a community garden and have to clean it up like I do, you can leave those things that are frost tolerant. But peppers, eggplant, tomatoes, we want to finish harvesting those. And if you have any disease in your garden, disease plants, you should put those in the compost pile. Remove that plant debris because that will cut down on diseases for the coming years. And move your houseplants indoors. Most houseplants don't like growing below 50 degrees. So when we have weather temperatures in the 40s, that's pretty cold. So cleaning up your houseplants and bringing those in, those are big chores. And the last thing I'll say is if you have tender bulbs, gladiolus, cannas, caladiums, dahlias, those will not live through winter outdoors. So we have to bring those inside, and it's tricky, but try to find a place about 50 degrees to store them.
I know once in a while we'll get questions, and actually I thought about that too. We have in part of the garden yard hostas, some pretty good-sized hostas, and my wife likes to have me clean them out after the frost hits them and they're flat on the ground. But you don't really have to, do you? You could wait till spring for
No. that. No, you don't have to really clean up hostas. That's one of the easy things about them. Their foliage kind of melts away. It really disintegrates over the winter. But sometimes the bigger hostas have big leaves, coarse stems. Those take a little bit longer. But yes, I don't do that. I don't clean up my hostas. And we know now that many insects will overwinter in the stems of foliage. So many of our perennials, if you leave some of the stems up, or you do the chop and drop, you cut them off, but you leave the stems there, then the insects that are inside can complete their life cycles and be there for next summer.
Very good. Texter says this, Mary, and we'll give the number in a second. I have a potted perennial plant called the Tradescantia. Thank you. I would like to dispose of it now, but don't know how. I don't want to put it in the forest by my house in fear that it'll take root and spread. I also know that it's against Minnesota law to throw it in the garbage. What should I do?
Well, I would look for your municipal compost sites. So most communities have municipal compost sites where you can take brush or shrub trimmings, fallen branches, etc. Many times they don't want to take soil, but they will take all of the plants. And some of them, you have to really check and see which ones will take soil. But I would look for that because most all municipalities have that. So there is one for Hennepin County, but there's also one for Plymouth, Maple Grove, etc.
Okay, very good. Phone number is also the text number. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you know how busy we get here this hour. 651-461-9226 for your lawn or garden question. Phone number, same. 651-461-9226. Another text says this, Mary. I bought a tree in the spring. It's still in its pot. Is it too late to plant it in the ground?
Well, I think it will do better in the ground than it will in that pot in Minnesota. So, yes, I would go ahead and plant it. Make sure that you prepare the soil well. Dig a big hole. Dig a big wide hole. Find where the flare roots are, where the first roots are, come off on the tree, and make sure those are up high near the surface of the soil. So don't plant it too deep. And then I would make sure that you water it for until the ground freezes.
Okay. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Jim, phoning in from Belle Plaine this morning. Good morning, Jim. What is your question for Mary?
My question is, I have a hibiscus in a pot, and I want to take it in for the winter, and how do I prepare it to do that?
I would give the hibiscus a shower. So through a hose outside or putting it in your shower indoors, you want to clean it off really well. Hibiscus often will have insects, especially aphids, when you bring it indoors. So the insects might really increase indoors. You want to make sure it's insect free. If you do see any insects, some people treat their plants with insecticidal soap as they're bringing them indoors. That will help clean up, kill any of the insects. But then, yes, put it in as bright a light as possible indoors. Hibiscus are a great plant to have through the winter and often will continue to flower even indoors.
Listener wants to know, we talk about the new apple, the Kudos. Are there any samples available like at the Arboretum, they want to know?
Boy, I wish there were. I have tried. I don't think so. No, to my knowledge, there were very few, and they're not samples available. For the public now. I do know that think about past years when you were out there sampling one of those numbers. Maybe you did try Kudos and didn't know it, because the numbered samples do come into the public. There are numbers out there now in the Apple House that you can buy, but Kudos will be a few years until we can taste those. They're the plants are going to the grower now, so that'll be a few years until we can taste that. Kudos, the newest, the 29th introduction from the University of Minnesota. It has Honeycrisp and Zestar as the parents, and you can buy Honeycrisp and Zestar at the Apple House and many stores as well.
Sounds great. I know we have to break here, but I want to grab another phone call before we do that. Karen, I think, is on the horn calling in from Watertown. Hi, Karen. What's your question?
Hi. I want you to know I listen to your show every morning. I have a question about seeding grass. We've had problems getting our soil ready, and now we have the ground prepped for seeding. Is it too late to do grass seeding?
Well, if it was mine, I wouldn't seed it right now. I would wait and do a dormant seeding. So dormant seeding is about a month from now, when you know it's not going to grow in the fall. The chances are right now the soil is still warm, and if we get a few more days of 70 degrees, that seed could start to germinate. And when it's very young, it's really susceptible to frost and dying. So rather than take the big risk now, about a month from now, I would do a dormant seeding.
Very good. I'm going to be doing that too later on this season. All right, I'm getting a signal here. We need to take a quick break. This is our Smart Garden Show. If you have a question for Mary Meyer, call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. New temperature reading in the Twin Cities just moved up 1 degree from the past couple of hours. CCO temperature reading 45. Stay with us. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Welcoming your lawn and garden questions this morning for Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Mary, as usual, a lot of callers, a lot of texters. something to keep you busy here for the rest of the hour. We should remind our listeners, too, that if they've never checked it out, please do the University of Minnesota Extension website. It's extension.umn.edu. A lot of work put into that, a lot of labors of love, and it's a great resource, isn't it?
Yes, wonderful resource. What's wrong with my plant? What insect is this? Lots of timely tips. If you want to read about bringing your houseplants indoors, there's a great new article there. Fall cleanup. What about the bugs that we see around our windows now and doors? You can identify what those insects are and how to clean those up. But lots of great information at extension.umn.edu.
Yeah, great reading. We're going to get back to the phone callers. The one text here, I'm trying to catch up on business here, too. Is it too late to trim arborvitae? A question from a listener.
I like to wait to trim the evergreens until it's really cold and they're not going to grow anymore. And so you trim my evergreens and use the trimmings for Christmas decorations. So I wait till closer to the end of October into November. Right now we see arborvitae with the inside of it browning. So that's the normal leaf fall on the evergreens. The older inside leaves will turn brown. So that might make people look at their arborvitae and think, oh, it's not doing well, but it's just the normal evergreen leaf fall.
All right, very good. Another phone call. Martha's calling in from Andover this morning. Thanks for waiting, Martha. What is your question, please?
So I've got three houseplants that are outside. Two of them are succulents and one is a begonia. And I grabbed them last night and put them into the garage. So obviously, they can't stay in the garage very long. How do I check them for insects? And then is it okay to bring them into the house and put them on the four-season porch right from the garage? I mean, can they go from like 40, 50-degree temperatures to indoor temperatures?
Yes, you can move them because they've been outside. They've been used to much warmer conditions, more like what we have inside. So temperature difference isn't an issue now. The big concern is the insects that might be on your plants. So the best thing is if you can actually give them a shower and wash off any insects, inspect the top of the pots around the edges of the pots, the bottom of the pots. Washing all that off is a great way to clean up the plants. If the succulents, you don't want to give them that much water with really a bath. You can just be more careful with a paper towel, a moist paper towel, in wiping and cleaning off the foliage. But so many of our household plant insect problems come in right now in the fall. So you just want to do a good inspection, looking on the top and the bottom of all the leaves and then washing them off. And then, yes, you could move them today. In fact, they'd be much happier. You'll feel that the leaves are cold, the pot is cold from being outside, and plants like that really prefer above 60 degrees.
Okay. Let's grab another phone call and we'll pick up on text messages. Beth calling in from Bloomington this very morning. Beth, thank you for waiting. What is your question?
Oh, hi. I had sort of a similar question on the begonia. So, just wanted to confirm that we can bring it in for the winter. Where should we put it in the house after we clean it up for the insects?
Yes, I think I give my houseplants the brightest light possible. Many things like begonias, any of the citrus, succulents, hibiscus, anything that's going to flower, you want to give that as high light as possible. Because even indoors with a south window, it still is not as bright as it is outdoors, even in a porch where it's shaded. So bright light will really help, especially something like begonia or hibiscus that you want it to keep flowering.
Mary, a texter wants to know, what's the best way to reuse potting soil?
This is a really good question, and it's one that we don't talk about enough, especially when we're thinking about recycling things and reusing things. And now with a greater interest in peat, should we be using peat and peat moss? And so I reuse a lot of potting soil. Sometimes, like this time of year, when I just leave it in the pots and store it outside, where in a pot sitting outside, or in my boxes it sits outside. And then in the springtime, I try to dry it out. Many times I will get a big tarp and dump everything out into a tarp and let it dry out, because it's usually really dense and wet. So you want to make sure it dries out. And then I just try to remove any plant parts, any roots, anything that looks like part of a dead plant. I try to remove that. Sometimes I add additional soil, and depending on the density of it, how heavy it is, I might add some sand to make it a little bit more porous and better drainage. But I try to reuse my potting soil. The only exception is if you've had a really problem with diseased plants, and especially anything that was rotted or had rotten. Like if you grow dahlias, the little annual dahlias, those tubers will really take in a lot of water and they can rot. And so things like that, I try to clean up any diseased or dead plant parts, take out. But I try to reuse it from year to year.
Okay. 651-461-9226. That's our phone number. It's also our text number. Speaking of text, can you talk about, I know you touched on this earlier, Mary, can you talk about leaving some perennials standing for pollinators and beneficial insects and caterpillars, please?
Yes, this is new information that we continue to learn more and more about, is an understanding the whole life cycle of insects. Many of our native bees and where they lay their eggs will often be in stems, different widths and sizes of stems, but they will often lay their eggs in these stems of many of our perennials. And yes, if we completely clean up the garden, we're removing a lot of these larvae and killing a lot of insects. So you don't have to be such a neatnik in cleaning up your garden. You can actually leave some of the stems, and actually that can make a good cover and like a living mulch to actually hold moisture in your soil. So, right, I try to not clean up the garden much in the fall at all. Now, the only exception is peonies. I cut down my peonies because they usually have botrytis blight. So I remove the peony foliage, but the other perennials I leave standing until the spring. And then in the springtime, I do minimal cleanup and try to leave about 6 inches or so on the plants that are there. And if I do remove it, I put it in my compost pile. So, yes, hopefully that will enable a lot more insects to live. And we know that we have a shrinking insect population overall.
Yeah, for sure. Hang on, Mary. We'll have a look at that CCO forecast and be right back with more of our smart
insect population overall.
Yeah, for sure. Hang on, Mary. We'll have a look at that CCO forecast and be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show on 830 WCCO. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, answering those lawn and garden questions, and we have many, as usual. Greetings, this texter says, then we'll grab a phone call. Have a panicle hydrangea, some sedum plants. Should these plants be cut back now or in the spring?
In the spring. If you're going to cut them back, do it in the spring. On both of these plants have beautiful flowers that are beautiful right now and can hold through the fall and into the winter. So they have a lot of winter interest. So I would, I'd wait till spring.
A couple of callers, or rather texters, want to know how they overwinter a mandevilla plant.
Well, mandevilla is a beautiful vine, has kind of a thick leaf. It looks like it might be a hardy, but it's not hardy for us. So you'd have to bring it indoors and grow it and keep it in a bright, sunny window to keep it. So it needs to have good light all summer. As far as I know, it does not have a dormant period. It isn't something you can put in the basement and forget about it. That will kill it. So it needs a bright, sunny window, like a hibiscus, for the whole winter. So that's kind of a challenge to do that. But if you have enough space and a bright window, I know people have done it.
Okay, very good. Let's take a phone call. Catherine's calling in from Blaine this morning. Catherine, good morning. What is your question?
My question is it too late for a hydrangea, to put a hydrangea in?
If you already have it and it's in a container, yes, I would go ahead and plant it. If you're going out to buy one, it's getting really iffy. We'd like to have about a month of good growing conditions for the plants to develop roots. Well, you know, you might have that now. I mean, we just never know with what's happening. And our fall frost date has been moving later and later. So I would do it this weekend. If you're going to do any planting, I would do it this weekend.
Okay. Let's grab another phone call. Becky is calling in this morning from North St. Paul. Becky, thank you for waiting. What is your question?
Thank you for hearing me. I have a problem with my dirt in my pots in the house smelling, and I was just wondering how often houseplants should be repotted to take care of that smell.
Okay, if you can smell it, then you should get rid of it, because that is not a good sign. And sometimes when I'm watering my citrus, I use an organic plant food for my citrus that is, I can smell it after I water it, but then it goes away. So that doesn't bother me. But if you continually have a problem and can smell the soil, there's too much decaying organic matter in there, and it should not have a bad smell or so obvious that you can smell it. So I would repot those plants. And I think what you might find is there's not a lot of good, healthy root growth in there, and maybe the roots are there's decaying roots, so I would definitely, and those would be brown, so I would repot your plants.
Okay. This texter says, bringing your outdoor plants inside, what about the bugs on these plants?
Yes, that's why we have to do really quite a careful inspection. And some people use a preventative insecticidal soap that they spray down their plants with, because sometimes it's hard to see all the insects. Some plants are worse than others. Like if you've had snake plants and jade plants outdoors, you might not have any insects on them. But hibiscus are kind of notorious for having aphids or white flies that you bring in. So you just have to do really good inspection and then watch carefully for the first, I would say, 2 to 4 weeks after you bring them in to see whether or not you have any insects. So water, washing them off with a shower is the first line of defense that I use, because sometimes you can just, with a force of water, remove the insects.
Okay. If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions today. Good morning. This texter says, is it okay to do dormant seeding with clover?
Yes, you could do that. We've had some results with that. And sometimes I think wildflowers or non-grass, we didn't really start dormant seeding, but you can try that. It's worth a try. White clover is a good, tough plant. It's a plant more people should have in their lawns, because it fixes nitrogen, so we don't have to use additional nitrogen fertilizer, and it produces a lot of flowers that we know many bees will use as food with the nectar in the flowers. So I would try, yeah, mixing that in with a dormant seeding.
Okay. This listener says this, Mary, I have Carl Foster grasses that now have dead areas. this year only may be due to a lack of water. Do you think they'll come back, or do I need to plant new? What are Carl Foster grasses?
Yes, Carl Foster, this is he was a German plantsman, and the ubiquitous grass that you see that kind of looks like wheat, it's about 4 feet tall, and it's beige now, planted at a lot of malls, commercial plantings, and sold. It's a huge big seller in garden centers. That grass, Carl Forster, is named after the German, but that grass does tend to get a dead center in it, and especially after a dry year, the three dry years we've had. So the remedy is really division in the spring. So in the spring, just as the plants are starting to grow, I would dig the whole thing up, or at least dig out the parts that are dead. Many times this looks like a donut with a living grass around the outside and the center is dead. So you can chop it up into like four plants and throw away any part that is dead. You'll be able to see that there's no roots and it will just be a woody part. Throw that away and then plant the four new plants you've got, and they'll do much better. Carl Foster, this grass is the one grass that really does seem to need division after 5 or 6 years of being in the garden.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Jerry is calling in from St. Paul this morning. Jerry, you're on CCO with Mary.
Hi, everyone. A couple of years ago, I had a retaining wall built in my yard, and it's about 100 feet long, and probably a foot out from the retaining wall, the ground sank about 3 to 4 inches. So in order to fix that, I want to put some fill dirt in there, but should I remove the sod, which is a heck of a job, or can I just simply fill black dirt on top of it with some grass seed? Will the grass underneath still grow through if I put 3 or 4 inches of dirt on top of it?
I think that it will, Jerry. It's probably Kentucky bluegrass that's there. That's a very, very tough grass. And yes, I think it will still grow through it. That grass has rhizomes. Many of our lawn grasses do. You know, if you wanted to put 2 inches on at a time and wait till the grass comes up through that and then put another 2 inches on, you could do that. That would be another strategy. It would take longer. You'd have to do it twice. But I think you'll be fine. You can reseed with some additional grass seed. You could do a dormant seeding if you want to do it this fall, or wait and do the whole thing next spring. But, yeah, I think the grass will persist there.
Okay. Listener wants to know how to get rid of thistle in my garden and lawn.
This is a big problem. If this is Canada thistle, this is one of our noxious weeds, very difficult to control, extensive root system. You can pull up those plants, but the subterranean root system 2 or 3 feet down in the soil is really difficult to get rid of. But you know, in the situation where it is in a garden or a lawn, just keep cutting it off, keep cutting it off. Glyphosate, the Total Kill Roundup herbicide will kill it, but you need quite a bit of thistle there. You need 6-8 inches of the plant. And even then, you probably have to do it a couple times. So just persistently cutting off what's green.
Okay. This listener, Thinden, replanted my irises last month, they say. Have lots of extra bulbs. How long can I keep them and how to store them?
I've never kept them very long. I always replant them. And yes, I have had this very same thing. Think about giving them away. Who do you know that might need iris? But I don't think they're going to do well if you don't plant them. You've got to replant them, otherwise they'll just dry up and not do well. But, you know, it is getting late, but they'll die if you don't plant them now. You won't have them alive in the spring. So it's either plant them, give them away, or throw out a plant. I hate to say that, Denny, yeah. But I say that's where we are.
All right. Hang on, Mary. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. It's a Saturday. All right. Hang on, Mary. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. It's a Saturday in the Twin Cities, 45 degrees. We might hit the low to mid-50s for a daytime high. It's probably going to be a cloudy day today. And about the same for tomorrow. Your Sunday is predicted right now to be partly sunny, high, though, near 56. Right now, as I said, 45 on 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WC. So keep in mind now our Home Improvement Show will get underway next hour right after the 9 o'clock news break. Andy Lindis answering any kind of a home improvement question you might have. We're in the midst of our Lawn and Garden Show, our Smart Garden Show. Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those questions. Here's one of them. Can I still spray weeds like clover and creeping Charlie?
This depends on the temperature that it is on the day you decide to spray. So you have to read the label on the herbicide and see what it says about temperature. It depends on what the chemical is. It might be, say, do not spray below 50 degrees. It might say 60 degrees. So usually it's warmer conditions for the herbicides to really work. We do have some activity with plants still growing, and your weeds can be seen out there, but a lot of it depends on what the chemical is you're going to spray and if it will work. So read the label.
Okay. Always read the label. Should first-year June-bearing strawberries be cut back before mulching for the winter?
Yes. Well, yes. But the renovation for strawberries really takes place right after you've harvested them, like July 10th or something. When the June bearing quit bearing, then you mow them off and do your renovation then. So mowing them off now would be a big risk. But the whole goal is that you clean them up and then they grow with foliage. But now I would say it's too late to do that. I would just go ahead and do the mulching.
Okay. When should butternut squash be harvested in the fall is our next question.
I would wait till the vines die. So butternut takes pretty much a long season, most of our season. So I would wait till the vines are dead, especially the leaves. The leaves have to be dead, and when the vines turn brown instead of green, you can harvest them. And usually you can tell the color. It will be that brown color all over and not any more green with the squash. That reminds me, Denny, of the pumpkins and squash that were harvested at the Arboretum. They have, as usual, 350 kinds of pumpkins and squash. You can see the huge displays that are at the Arboretum and the Apple House now. And you can buy some of these pumpkins and squash, many different kinds, squash from around the world that are really wonderful. So great to see the Arboretum this weekend. There are lots of other things going on, the book sale, the herb sale, the harvest sale, but the scarecrow and pumpkins, the squash display, really a lot to see.
I'm glad you brought that up about the Arboretum. I wanted to ask you about that. And maybe we should mention, too, that the procedure to reserve online, though, always do that. You have to do that.
Yes, you still do. And especially today, you could see how busy it is. But yes, every half hour, several hundred people are able to come in the Arboretum. So just look on the website. You can reserve the time that you want to go through the weekend and walk the trail, see the beautiful fall color as well.
Once you if you never have visited the Arboretum, once you do, you're going to want to make very frequent trips there. Just a great place. Just west of the Twin Cities, just go west on Highway 5 to about 41, and you're just about there.
That's right.
I know our time is so limited here. Another texter says they bought begonia tubers last spring, did not get a chance to plant them. Can I store them for next spring planting?
Boy, I think they're probably on their last leg right now. So if you didn't plant them, yes, begonias will not live through our winter outdoors. So, no, I think they're going to be dead.
Okay. This listener says, I have a question about pruning an apple tree. I have a 3-year-old fireside apple tree that's doing well. The problem is that the tree's leader is growing too well and has an overall height of 12 feet with not any significant branching out. How do I trim the long leader to encourage more branching off the main trunk?
Well, that's exactly right. You've got to go up and take that top leader off, because that will encourage branching from the side. The question of where to actually take the top leader off, you want to look at the buds that are remaining there and try to have one on each side, or three places around the tree, so that it will kind of make an umbrella like with the stems that will come out. There's and the time to do this is late winter or early spring. There's videos that we have online on how to prune fruit trees, especially apple trees, and so you can watch those. You can find the link for those at extension.umn.edu and search for apple pruning. But this, it is critical to do it now when the plant is young, because this will form the main stems that will then have the branch structure. You want to have widely spaced branches that get a lot of sunlight, and depending on the rootstock that's on this tree will really determine how tall it gets, but pruning certainly will help it have a good form, so it will keep it smaller.
Okay. Question about dormant grass seeding. The question is the seed different than regular grass seed?
No, it's the same seed. It's just the timing when you put it down. So it gets into the ground and settles itself in there. And then with the moisture of the winter and the snow that will then come, it's ready to go early in the spring. So you put it on when you know it's going to not germinate, so that it really gets a head start in the spring.
Another grass seed question. What's the best grass seed mix to use with Kentucky bluegrass, fescue, etc.? What do you think?
Yes, we've traditionally talked about Kentucky bluegrass, the fine fescues, and perennial ryegrass as a great all-around mixture. More and more, we're favoring the fine fescues because those are low maintenance, slow growing. We recommend those to go with bee lawns. They need less fertilizer. They're drought tolerant, and they're very, very fine texture. So, but a mixture with three different kinds, the blue Kentucky bluegrass, fine fescues, and perennial ryegrass, will kind of let the best guy win out there with the grasses, because if you have shady spots, that will be the fescue will grow there. If you have some sun, the perennial rye and the Kentucky bluegrass will grow. So it'll sort itself out and hopefully grow well. You'll have grass growing well in all diverse areas of your lawn.
Just a final quick question, Mary. Can I bring a fern inside that's been outside all summer? Texter wants to know.
If it's a house plant, you can. I wouldn't try bringing in any of our, woodland native ferns, because they need a dormant period. But the house plant, like the Boston ferns, yes, you could bring that in. But then there again, I'd really wash it off well and inspect it for insects.
Excellent. Mary, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure having you on CCO Radio, and I know we'll talk soon.
Yes, always a pleasure. Thanks, Denny.
You're welcome. And get to the Arboretum, yes, and also check out the University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu. I know we've had some folks looking for various kinds of shrubs to plant. They have all sorts of ideas about all sorts of things out there. So check it out, extension.umn.edu. In the meantime, get those home improvement questions ready next hour for Andy Lindis. Mostly cloudy today. We expect highs near 52 right now on 830 WCCO, 45. Stay with us.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.